like to inform all participants today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin when ready.
All right, so let's begin the next session then. I see we've got both Mikey and James, Mikey O'Connor and James Vidal here to help us through the next session, which is running for half an hour on the work on the IRTP Part D, the PDP on that. So over to you guys.
Thanks, Jonathan. James Blado here with co-chair Mikey O'Connor for the last in the series of IRTP PDPs. We've been saying IRTPD stands for done. We've been consolidating a number of these issues into the final instance of these PDPs in order to make this the end of that train. So we'll jump right in here. There's really not a whole lot to report because this effort is just getting underway. Do I have control?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so here are some background points. I think the key takeaway from this slide is that this is the fourth and final PDP from the series that was launched going back into 2008. This group was approved, I believe, by the council in at the Toronto meeting. Is that correct, Marika? Plus or minus? Yeah, and that the issues report came out, I think, earlier this year. It was put out for comment, and the working group formed, I want to say, in February. Okay, so that's a general timeline. We're addressing six charter questions here, including reporting requirements for transfer dispute, specifically the TDRP, Transfer Dispute Resolution Procedure. I think right now all of our data gathering exercises up to this point have been very ad hoc, and we're looking at ways that that could be standardized. Looking at the TDRP itself on whether or not that is an effective mechanism for handling transfer disputes, whether or not that process should be open to registrants. Right now it is currently open for registrars to initiate it on behalf of their registrants. And then two other issues that were tacked on here, I think, by previous instances, one of which is being the examination of the use of the form of authorization. In practical terms, the EPP authorization code has replaced the formal FOA, and whether or not that can that has been obsoleted. Now, these are not prejudging the outcomes. These are just some of the questions that we're going to be discussing. Here's the membership of the working group. It is, as you might expect for this subject, it is balanced towards registrars. The subject matter is one where registrars need to coordinate and standardize their various practices. Registries are well represented as well, and I think it's a good mix of IRTP veterans as well as some fresh faces into the working group process. Folks, by the way, have changed jobs. They're still on IRTPD, but they're in different companies from when we originally started that, just to give you an idea how long this has been going on. So here's a summary of our accomplishments to date. We kicked off in February. We invested a little bit of time in development of what we call a work plan. I think that working groups proceed a lot more smoothly when they're established at the outset with a schedule and some milestones as well as some checkpoints along the way to test their progress and adjust accordingly. We did finalize the request for inputs for stakeholder group and constituency inputs, and those were sent out in March. And we are currently, I believe, designing our approach for the charter questions. We missed the last meeting just due to a holiday, so I'm kind of fuzzy on where we actually left off with this group, but I think that we are now in the process of looking at each of our individual charter questions. Here's just some key dates in the lifespan and how we we're expecting to get those input forms back in shortly after this meeting in April 19th. We are targeting our initial report to be completed by the document cutoff deadline for the July 22nd, which is there a council meeting? Lars, Marika, I'm trying to think. We're trying to hit something there. Was it a council meeting that's following shortly thereafter? Or
it's Durbin.
Was it Durbin? Or is it looks a little late for Durbin.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Marika, I think it's just shortly after Durbin, because I think we felt that before Durbin would be too short, so it's a bit of an artificial, because the initial part doesn't go to the genus or council, just for the information and the comment.
We are targeting our final report to be published by the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires this November, which would give this entire working group, PDP, a lifespan of approximately 9 months. And then I go back to my joke, which is that, you know, you should be able to complete a PDP in 9 months. You can create a whole new human being from scratch in 9 months, so policy should be a no-brainer. More information is at this link here that no one's going to click, and we'll now turn it back open for questions. But really, not a lot to report, I think, is the answer. We have an aggressive timeline. We have a group of veterans with some fresh perspective, and we're going to charge after this one, and then we are going to be done with IRTP PDPs.
All right.
I'm sorry. Before we dive into questions, my co-chair Mikey here might want to weigh in on anything. Or I don't want to put you on the spot, but I also want to close the door. Okay, so Mikey says go
straight on to questions. I think Jeff might have pipped John, but... alphabetically, he does at least, but anyway, John, here we go.
John Berard, business constituency. It only takes two to make a baby.
Johnny, that's toast.
Jeff, beat that.
How do I follow that? Okay. So this is an interesting one because this... You guys are gathering data right now. I guess it's the stakeholder group statements, but I could speak at least for biz, right? We've never had a transfer dispute, and I'm not sure have any of the red... Well, I know Com has, right, and ComNet, but have any of the thick registries received any transfer disputes?
This is Mikey. The answer is... There aren't. If there are any, there are not very many. And one of the questions that's come up that we're going to take a look at is whether the registries should even be doing this, or whether we should just push these right out to the res. You know, there's another layer of dispute resolution providers for TDRP, and it might be, especially when you think about the number of registries increasing greatly in number. And this incredibly small number of instances where this happens, it might make sense to just take a layer out of that process. That's something we're going to... It came up briefly on one call, and we're going to stumble through a conversation about whether that's even in scope for us, but you're right. The number of dispute resolution incidents is very, very
right,
small.
I mean, we've been doing biz. How long ago did the transfer dispute? Was it 2005?
It was 1876.
I think it was 2005, yet. I think, is when it all went into play, or maybe 2006. Biz has not seen one. And I know every year I have to still train our customer support on it, and it never comes up. So, like, I'll train them on it, and then they'll forget about it, and then the next year I'll have to do the same thing. But... the last question had asked whether it was EPP that obviated the need for the FOIAs. Is it EPP or is it thick registries or is it both?
It's the auth info code that is translated via EPP. So it's the info code.
But I even so, I guess my question would be more for, I guess, VeriSign with Calm. Do they still get transfer disputes now that they're, or do they have their FOIA issues in Calm and Net even though they use EPP?
One of the things we did in this, since this is D for done, we took an issue that popped up in the last round and pushed it into this one. Those two aren't really connected. One of the things that came up in the last one was the fact that auth info codes are sometimes used for lots and lots of different things on the one hand, and on the other hand, they are perhaps made redundant by the capabilities of EPP, which were introduced after the auth info code idea was created. And so the thought was, we should take a look at all of that in a jar and see sort of what's going on with it, but it doesn't have anything to do with the TDRP per se.
So I guess the reason I'm kind of harping on this is because I remember back in 2004, I was having a pretty good argument with, I don't know if Chuck is still here, but I think it was Scott Hollenbeck. He and I were going at it because I basically said we don't need a lot of these rules because we have a thick registry and EPP and auth info code should take care of it. So a lot of these transfer rules we didn't actually need. And he was very adamant. He said, no, of course we need this. We need all of it because auth info codes can do a lot more. And you never know just because you have an auth info code that everything's authorized. But the point is, I guess, I'm glad to see this back on there. And that I will say that the number of transfer disputes that Biz has seen has been exactly zero since these policies came in. And I'm sure for info and for name and pro and those, it's pretty close to zero as well.
Marika, you've had your hand up for a while.
Yeah, it doesn't make it to your question on or your comment on the low incidence of TDRP disputes. One of the things the working group is looking into as well is whether it should be opened up for registrants to file a dispute, because currently it's only open to registrars. So one of the assumptions, I believe, in the working group is as well that registrars might try first to solve it themselves, because as well initiating a TDRP, you know, administrative hassle, probably costs involved, so maybe less incentive to going forward if you can as well try to resolve it in other ways, or if you feel the registrant, you know, doesn't really have a strong case to make. So one of the issues the working group is looking at, whether it should actually be opened up to registrants, and that may have as a result that the number of disputes would increase. And another element to that is as well with the adoption of the change of registrant policy on the IRGP Part C, that actually is part of that consideration or that discussion. We never considered should there be a mechanism as well to raise disputes under that part of the policy. So one of the questions a working group will need to look at as well is should the TDRP be expanded to also cover that part of the transfer policy to make sure that disputes can be resolved or addressed that may emerge under that part of you know, the new part of the IRG or the transfer policy as it probably is going to be as a whole.
If I could jump in on that one, I mean, this is all part and parcel of what we're going to be talking about. I don't want to presume any outcomes. One of the outcomes could be that since we're not using TDRP, that somebody somewhere, registrants, registrars, are seeing it's not an effective mechanism and that we've worked around it with other things, and maybe it doesn't need to exist anymore. Or maybe it needs to be changed so that it can be more effective. Or maybe it just needs to the right people are not getting to it. I mean, all these questions, I think, are on the table. For this particular charter question, but I think that, you know, that a major registry would say we've seen zero. Another registry would probably say we've seen less than 10, and a very, very, very large registry might say we've seen less than 50, you know, instances of this process since it's come out. When you compare that against, let's say, the number of instances where registrars have worked together to resolve fraudulent or incorrect or erroneous transfers, when you compare that against another process like UDRP, how many times that's been invoked, you know, maybe the answer is this thing just isn't really all that useful.
Marika.
This is Marika. If I can just make a follow-up comment, but looking at the number of complaints that ICANN received, it's still the number one issue of consumer complaints that are being received by ICANN. So obviously there is something that either is missing or wrong. And I'm not saying it's the TDRP, but obviously there are some things that either lead to confusions or issues not being addressed that people actually raise it with ICANN compliance. So I think that's, you know, as James said, the idea is to get to the source of, you know, to the bottom of the source to really understand what it is we need to do, indeed, if it's revamping the TDRP, getting rid of it, coming up with something else, but really trying to understand is, you know, how can we address these issues so we actually don't get that many complaints and registrants are, you know, helped in their issues.
But if I can just, and I guess my comment was on the complaints that you receive. So we do get a couple, and I literally mean maybe like three or five a year, questions in our customer support about transfers, but they're not what would be subject to the transfer dispute resolution policy. They are more compliance issues, and, you know, that they're trying to transfer and their registrar is not letting them because of trouble getting an auth code or something like that, which have been handled with other policies. So I just kind of question, you know, what is it you're getting complaints about, and is it really related to what the TDRP would actually cover? I mean, it does. It is a cost to registries to implement, you know, to go over with their customer support, even though they never use it. And maybe it's just a compliance. Maybe it's just an ICANN thing. So ICANN needs to step in, you know, that few amount of times, as opposed to if you go to a third party, Mikey, the third party's going to charge $1,000, $1,500, and for a $6 domain name or, you know, whatever it is, for a domain name, that's, you know, not worth it. So it's a good issue. We should talk about it, because I would love, from a selfish registry standpoint that's responsible for compliance, not having to deal with that would be great.
Marika.
Sorry for taking up so much time. This is Marika. Just one more follow-up, because we actually did ask compliance for information on the complaints received to, you know, trace them or track them to the issues we're looking at, and they just submitted their report this week, so the working group will actually be looking at that on Wednesday morning, I believe. So we are working closely together with compliance to get a better insight as to, you know, what the issues they see and whether indeed that fits with our charter questions or indeed if there are other issues at play that needs to be looked at.
This is Mikey. Let me maybe try and start to wrap us up here. So we really need to hear from you. I know that sometimes thinking about IRTP is kind of like thinking about paint drying, but this is right at the heart of the process that we're all engaged in, and this is pretty, it's dull, but it's very important. And the conversation we just had is the sort of conversation that we would really like you all to engage in the comment period that's closing about a week after this meeting is done. So don't forget to send those comments in. And then the other thing is that the working group is meeting at 7:30 in the morning this Wednesday, and I believe we are providing the coffee. And we would really love to have.
And we mean ICANN.
We in the royal encompassing we sense. Anyway, we would love to have you come and join us in that conversation. That's actually a better place to have the kind of conversation that we were having here. But I know a lot of you won't be available because you will be asleep. But anyway. Sort of a plug for those two things. That's it.
Meeting at midnight?
No, no meetings at midnight.
Are there any more questions for Jamie? Wolf, sorry, I fight you. Wolf, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And I think it fits to that, what Mikey was saying. So I'm thinking about, as a counselor, not very close to that what you are doing in the working group right now, but I would like to understand, and I'm looking to the five charter question, what is behind of that and what as a counselor I could contribute to that in terms of, I'm asking myself, are there from your expectation at the time being controversial issues which you expect in the course of your work right now, and where you expect some advice from the council level to do so. This is one thing, one question. The other thing is, since I understood that the IRTP parts, CED and what else, they were the foundation of that was laid down in 1876 or where else. So how the new RAA impact, is there any impact from the new RAA to that process as well? Because this is inter-registrar transfer policy. Thank you.
Well, this is Mikey, and since I'm in Wolf's constituency, I'm going to whack him. We don't want advice from the council, because the council is the body that manages the policymaking process. We want advice from your constituencies. So I just want to whack my colleague from the ISPCP on that one. In terms of the new RAA, we are fortunate in this particular constituency to have very good representation from the registrar's constituency, including a number of the folks that are engaged directly in that negotiation. And so we're very well equipped to make sure that whatever we come up with aligns really well with the new RAA. In many instances, what happens is that the new RAA solves issues that the IRTP was originally constituted to address, but because of the length of time that this process has taken, a lot of those have almost become moot because the RAA has overtaken us on that.
Really?
I think so.
Well, we'll have to discuss that.
Well, all right then. That's what we do.
Controversies, you know, as Marika mentioned, transfers of domain names are very complicated. They're very difficult. If you don't do them frequently or if you're not close to this industry, they seem like voodoo. It is not only with ICANN, but also I think with registrars, probably their primary source of customer service issues and incidents. How do we reconcile that with the fact that no one's using this process? I think that's interesting. That's a problem that needs to be at least understood, if not solved. Another one is always been the undercurrent of all the IRTP PDPs is this spectrum between domain name security and domain name portability. You know, we want to be able to make it easy for someone to vote with their feet. If they're unhappy with their registrar, they should be able to pick up their name and go. But this is the internet. People give passwords after their cat's names. People steal domain names because they're valuable. So I think that, you know, we have to balance those two desires, that folks want these things to be fairly seamless, but we also need to protect customers from themselves in some regards. I don't think that the RAA really, which I'm still calling a draft, really hits on our IRTP specifically, although the new RAA draft, 2013 RAA, which hopefully does not become the draft 2014 RAA, should leave most existing consensus policies like the IRTP untouched, although it will add other commercial and operational burdens to registrars and ultimately to registrants. It should not necessarily dive into the specifics, but I'm open to... You have one, okay? Because we've been writing this, so I'm curious. Yeah.
No, I'll give you an example.
Write this down.
This is Mikey. I'll give you an example of what I was thinking of. One of the things that we ran into in IRTPC was this whole distinction between the inter-registrar transfer and the inter-registrant transfer, which up until IRTPC were commingled. And one of the sticky wickets in the teasing apart of those two things is that in thick registries, that's fairly it's fairly straightforward to figure out who the old registrant is. But in a thin registry, a gaining registrar has a hard time doing that. And one of the things that the 2013/14 RIAA solves is the problem of uniform display of who is information, which could solve the puzzler that we were originally trying to solve with thick who is. So there.
I think that we can talk about this over beers.
This is deep.
I don't want to set the message though to council that the draft RAA is getting into the nuts and bolts of IRTP or any consensus policy.
Truth.
All right, that's probably a good place to wrap it up. James and Mikey, thanks. I mean, you made the point that this is, Mikey, I think that this is in some ways where the real work is done in the trenches, and so I think we owe you a vote of thanks for that, and it's quite clear that that you feel like you've come into the end of the road of the IRTP work, but it's good to see there's a clear timetable to getting there. And
well, I just want to thank Chuck Gomes, who was the person who introduced me to my first IRTP back in Paris, which I think was 2006, was that right? 2008? Anyway, this is my 19th IRTP, and I'm happy to have it done.
I'm surprised you're thanking him. But all right. Well, thank you all, both of you, and for the rest of you for the participation in this session. We'll call it to a halt, and we'll just take a very short break and take advantage of the fact that we're ahead of schedule, assuming that Ron is available. I'm just looking around to see if Ron, who's... Yeah, I thought he was. Yeah, thanks, Ron. All right, so if we could just stop the recording now and pause for a moment before picking up with Ron to talk with us on the work of the SCI.